Welcome back, everybody, to the deep dive. You know, today we're going to be tackling a topic that's pretty controversial, but we're going to be looking at it from, you know, maybe a different angle than you might expect.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about gun control.
All right.
But through the lens of Catholic social teaching.
Very interesting.
So the article that we're going to be dissecting today is called Gun and Control Pros and Cons and Self-Defense. It's from CAP USA.
Okay.
And, you know, as you can imagine, this is a really, really complex topic.
So yeah.
Our mission today is to kind of give you a balanced perspective on this based on what the article says.
Absolutely.
We're not taking sides here.
Right.
We're just going to lay out the information.
Sure.
And hopefully give you some things to think about.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because the Catholic Church doesn't have like a definitive teaching on gun control.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so fascinating when I was reading this article is that it's not like, you know,
right.
black and white.
Yeah, it's not like thou shalt might own a gun or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do they even approach this then?
Well, it's all about principles, like, you know, the core principles of Catholic social teaching.
Okay.
Looking through the lens of human dignity.
Okay.
The common good.
Right.
And even things like self-defense.
Oh, yeah, self-defense. And that's where it gets really interesting because the article actually states that the church views self-defense as both a right and a duty in some cases.
Right.
I have to admit, that kind of surprised me at first.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem kind of counterintuitive at first glance.
Right.
Because, you know, we think about, you know, pacifism and things like that. But when you really consider it,
yeah,
it makes sense in light of the church's emphasis on protecting life and upholding justice.
Okay, I see how those pieces fit together a little bit more now.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, help me out here. How does the church reconcile this idea of self-defense,
yeah,
which could involve taking a life with the commandment, thou shalt not kill?
That is the question.
Right.
And that's where this idea, this principle of double effect comes in.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a complex concept, but it basically helps us to navigate situations
yeah.
where an action might have both good and bad outcomes.
Okay.
And even Pope Francis has weighed in on this, and he said that to defend oneself is not only lawful, but also an expression of love.
Wow. You know, when I read that quote, it really kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we tend to think about self-defense as being, you know, this negative, aggressive
right.
thing.
It's almost like always on the defense, you know?
Exactly.
But to think about it as an act of love, like, that's a totally different way of looking at it.
Yeah, it completely reframes it.
Yeah, and it really highlights the intent
yeah.
behind the action.
So it's not about, you know,
yeah.
going out and, like, picking a fight or,
right.
you know.
Being the aggressor.
Yeah, being the aggressor. It's about protecting yourself
right.
or others from harm.
Exactly.
And sometimes, tragically, a life might be lost as a result of that, but the primary aim is preservation, not destruction.
Yes, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about this as well and says that love toward oneself remains a fundamental principle of morality.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not like you're supposed to just, you know, let yourself be harmed or let your family be harmed.
You have a duty to protect yourself and your family.
Exactly.
So that kind of flips the script on how I think a lot of people view this.
It really does.
But, okay, so we've talked about how it's okay to defend yourself, you know, in certain situations.
Uh-huh.
But the source also makes it clear that there are limits to this, right?
Okay.
It's not a free-for-all.
Yeah, like if someone, you know, insults you on the street, that doesn't give you the right to, you know.
Yeah, you can't just go around shooting people.
Exactly.
Because they cut you off in traffic.
Right, it has to be a proportionate response.
Okay, so proportionate response is key here.
Yes, and the article actually says that, you know, excessive force is unlawful.
Okay.
And the church recognizes that, you know, excessive force is a very serious matter.
Yeah.
And it carries very heavy moral implications.
This isn't something to be taken lightly.
No, it's not.
And I think that leads perfectly into our next point because, you know, it's not just about the individual's way to defend themselves, but we also have to consider the common good.
Absolutely.
And how all of this fits into the bigger picture of, you know, gun control.
Right. So how do we balance those two things?
Right. So if the church upholds this right to self-defense,
yeah.
wouldn't that imply that people should have some level of access to the means to defend themselves?
It would seem that way.
So how do we reconcile those two seemingly conflicting ideas?
Well, I think this is where the principle of subsidiarity comes into play.
Okay.
And that's kind of a fancy word for saying that decisions should be made at the most local level possible.
Okay.
So instead of having, you know, a one-size-fits-all federal mandate on gun control,
yeah,
the church might lean more towards, you know, solutions that are tailored to specific communities and their needs.
Oh, that's interesting. So like a small rural town in you know, Montana might approach gun ownership very differently than like a big city like Chicago.
Exactly, because they have very different needs and they face very different challenges.
And subsidiarity allows for that.
Yes, it allows for flexibility and it recognizes that, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all solution to this.
So even though the church doesn't, you know, come out and say, like, thou shalt have background checks or thou shalt not have assault weapons,
right,
they provide this framework that we can use to kind of, like, think through these issues and come to our own conclusions about
absolutely
what is the right thing to do.
And I think that's a really valuable contribution.
Yeah, I think so, too, because it's so easy to get caught up in the, you know, the back and forth and the rhetoric and just, like, kind of these knee-jerk reactions.
Right. We just want a simple answer.
Yeah, but the church is saying, like, hold on a second. Let's think about this a little bit deeper.
Let's take a step back
yeah.
and really look at all sides of the issue.
Right. And so when we're thinking about, you know, the church's teachings on self-defense and the principle of double effect and this idea of subsidiarity, we can start to see how these pieces fit together to inform our understanding of gun control.
Yes. And I think that's a really important takeaway for our listeners.
Yeah, I agree. So we've laid some groundwork here and we're going to take a deeper dive into some specific gun control measures and how these principles might apply in the next segment. So stay tuned.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after the break. All right, so we're back. And, you know, we've been talking about this framework that the church provides for thinking about gun control.
Right, these core principles?
Yeah, but I gotta admit, applying those principles to, you know, like real-world gun control debates
yeah.
feels kind of like walking a tightrope, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how do we actually weigh individual rights against the need for the common good?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when, like, everybody's got such strong opinions about this, you know?
And that's where, you know, I think the church doesn't give us a step-by-step guide.
All right.
It's not a recipe. It's more like a framework for making those ethical choices.
Okay, so let's say, like, there's a debate about banning assault weapons.
Okay.
Using this framework, how would someone approach that specific issue?
All right, so let's try to, like, apply those principles.
Okay.
So first, like, we would look at the intent of the ban.
Okay.
Is it really aimed at reducing gun violence, or is it more about, like, political posturing?
Ooh, that's a good point.
You know, we can't ignore the emotional aspect
right.
of this debate.
Yeah, everybody's got feelings about it.
But we have to try to ground our analysis in facts.
So we'd need to, like, look at the data.
Exactly.
Like, do assault weapons actually contribute disproportionately to gun violence?
Right, or are other types of firearms
yeah.
more commonly used in crimes?
I honestly don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
That's exactly the kind of research
right.
that we need to do.
Yeah.
We can't just rely on, you know, gut feelings.
Or, right. What we see on the news.
Or what we see on the news. Exactly.
And remember, the church would also want us to consider the potential downsides of a ban. Like,
mm-hmm.
would it actually infringe on the legitimate right to self-defense
right.
for responsible gun owners?
Exactly. And that's a really important consideration.
Yeah. Because, like, if someone lives in a rural area and, you know, police response times are really slow,
right.
they might feel like they need, you know, a firearm that can protect them against multiple attackers.
Absolutely.
It's not as simple as just saying, ban all the scary looking guns.
No, it's much more complicated than that.
And that's where I think, like, subsidiarity comes back into play
yeah.
because, like, a blanket federal ban might not make sense for every community.
Exactly.
Maybe a local community, you know, knowing their own needs and their own risks, decides to implement stricter regulations yeah. on certain types of firearms,
right.
while another community might choose a different path.
That's the beauty of subsidiarity.
Yeah, it allows for that.
It allows for that flexibility, and it recognizes those local differences.
Yeah, that kind of nuance gets lost, I think, in a lot of the national debates.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the rhetoric.
Right.
And, you know, like, the talking points and lose sight of those.
Yeah, we want those easy answers.
Yeah, like the real piece.
The sound bites.
Yeah, exactly.
But the church calls for a much deeper level of engagement.
Yeah, like really thinking through the issue.
Thoughtful engagement.
Yeah.
It's about avoiding those knee-jerk reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And really wrestling with the complexities.
It sounds like the church is asking us to, like, really be honest with ourselves, too.
That
our own biases and assumptions.
Our own prejudices.
Yeah, like, why do I support this policy?
Right.
Is it because it actually makes sense?
Right.
Or is it just because it makes me feel safer?
It's about engaging both our heads and our hearts.
That's good.
We need to combine that critical thinking.
Yeah.
With compassion.
And remembering, you know, like, the people on the other side of the issue.
Exactly. Because remember, at the core of Catholic social teaching is this deep respect for human dignity.
Right.
And that applies to everyone.
Not just the people you agree with.
Not just the people you agree with, exactly.
So we've talked about assault weapons, but what about other gun control measures? Like, you know, universal background checks.
Sure.
Waiting periods, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, those are great examples.
How does this ethical framework apply to those?
Well, I think each one deserves its own deep dive. really.
Oh, for sure.
But we can apply the same principles.
Okay.
You know, does a universal background check genuinely contribute to the common good by keeping guns out of the wrong hands?
Right.
Does it place an undue burden on law-abiding citizens?
Those are good questions.
Who were just trying to exercise their right to own a firearm.
And again, like, the principle of subsidiarity might suggest that different communities could implement those measures differently.
Exactly.
Right.
Maybe a state with a really high rate of gun violence chooses to enact stricter background checks.
Right.
While another state with a different set of circumstances might opt for a different approach.
So it's not just about the specific policy.
It's about the process. Yeah. It's about the decision-making process.
Yeah.
And making sure that it's informed by these ethical principles.
Okay, so respect for human dignity.
Yes.
Commitment to the common good.
Uh-huh.
And recognizing that one-size-fits-all solutions rarely work.
Exactly.
It's like we're trying to, like, put together a puzzle here, you know?
It is a puzzle.
We've got these individual pieces, like the church's teachings on self-defense, the principle of double effect, this idea of subsidiarity.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see how they all fit together.
To form a bigger picture.
Yeah, and it's a complicated picture.
It is complex.
Yeah, it's nuanced. There's no easy answers.
Right.
But at least we have a framework, you know, for having this conversation in a way that's thoughtful
and ultimately focused on promoting human flourishing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
For everyone.
It's not about, like, finding the quote unquote right answer.
No.
It's about, you know, really engaging in the process of thinking it through.
Discernment.
Yeah.
Weighing those values.
That's wrestling with it.
And striving for solutions that uphold human dignity while promoting a more just and peaceful society.
And I think that's a great place to leave it for this segment.
I agree.
We're going to be back in just a minute to wrap things up, so stay with us. Wow, I feel like we could talk about this for, like, hours.
Yeah, me too.
But we've got to wrap things up soon.
Right.
But I think we've laid out some, like, really important principles, you know, to kind of help guide our thinking as we continue to, you know, think about this and wrestle with it.
Absolutely. And hopefully, you know, we've encouraged our listeners to move beyond, you know, just those simple labels, pro-gun, anti-gun, and, like, really embrace the nuance that Catholic social teaching brings to the table.
You know, it's funny. Before we, like, really dug into this article, I thought the church would have, like, a very, you know, clear-cut stance on gun control.
Yeah.
But what I've realized is that it's much more about, like, providing us with this framework, you know, for ethical decision making, for, like, wrestling with these tough questions and not just, like, coming up with easy answers.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that inherent dignity, you know, of every human life.
Right.
Both those who might be victims of violence
and
those who, you know, are seeking to protect themselves and their families.
And recognizing that, you know, different communities might need different approaches. Like, small town in Montana might face very different challenges than a big city like Chicago.
Exactly. And that's where subsidiarity comes in.
Right. Empowering those local communities to kind of make the decisions that are best for them.
Exactly.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive, what's, like, the one key takeaway you hope listeners will walk away with?
I would say, you know, the next time you encounter a debate about gun control, you know, whether it's on the news or social media or even at your own dinner table, try applying those principles that we've talked about, you know, think about human dignity, the common good, self-defense, subsidiarity.
Be willing to, like, ask those tough questions, you know.
Yes, challenge your own assumptions.
And listen to people who maybe have a different viewpoint.
Yes, even if you disagree, you know, approach the conversation with respect and a genuine desire to understand.
To understand where they're coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, finding solutions that promote peace and justice requires us to, like, engage with each other in a spirit of dialogue and empathy.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for guiding us through this, like, really complex topic.
Of course.
I think I speak for both of us when I say this has given us a lot to ponder.
Yes, the pondering is the important part.
Yeah, it's not about easy answers.
It's
about, you know, ongoing reflection and engagement with these ideas.
Absolutely.
To our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic, ready to unpack new ideas and challenge our perspectives.
Until then, keep those minds open, those hearts engaged, and those conversations flowing.
See you next time.
2HL.